You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up? All right, guys. The world has been a little heavy the last couple weeks, wouldn't you say? So I thought, let's lighten things up a little bit here on the CW Pod. I recently invited my old buddy Tom Hyde. I met him on Twitter, and we always just talk about professional wrestling together. I know it's a niche subject. I understand this. Some of you may not be into it, but hopefully we will attract some new listeners here to the podcast. Please subscribe, rate, review. Get March Madness over with, and we'll be populating this feed a lot more coming up in the next couple of months. Of course, we are always presented by our friends at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. If you're looking for a job, hit them up, MechDyne.com, and check out their job listings. They're located in Marshalltown, a phenomenal company. And I always tell people, the second I get done with all this stuff that I do, my guy Chris Glover and MechDyne, the first company I'm going to call, that's a place I want to work. And you should too. Again, like, I've always been a professional wrestling fan. I haven't been as of late. And then, well, I guess when I say as of late, like the last 5 years. And it's really picked up for me with this AEW thing going on. Tommy and I are going to talk our way through it. Everything happening, just big picture in the world of professional wrestling. Changing things up today. We're going to get a little less serious than we usually are here on the podcast. With that, I'll bring in my boy, Tom Hyde. He's a bigger wrestling fan than me. Coming up now on the CW Pod.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? Think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Out to the masters.
Yes. One of my bringing on one of my Twitter nemesis. I don't know what it. I don't know what you call it, but he's a nemesis. But I love him. And he can. I got two words for my guest. Suck it. Man, this is just the podcast of great theme music here. Tom Hyde, what's up, brother? How are you? How do you like that for entrance?
That's pretty good. Although I gotta say, I believe it's actually Nemesis.
Is that? I don't even know.
At least that's what I think.
I'm the journalist here.
Yeah.
Nobody takes me seriously as a journalist. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That ship sailed about 10 years ago. Okay, so for real, I kind of told everybody this in the intro, but we met on we basically met on Twitter. I mean, we've been together at Iowa State events and stuff like that, but
sure. Game watches, you name it. Just kind of run into each other a lot. We have a lot of, you know, kind of mutual people, you know, circles there. So, and then when I found out like you love pro wrestling as much as I do, I'm like, oh man, I already liked you before. And I like you even more.
I agree. Like every time, like for instance, Tom and I were at a game watch together last week and Iowa State was playing in a, I don't know, like the game's turned into a dog, but for a while it was interesting. And we were just talking about pro wrestling the whole time. So that tends to be how this goes.
Oh yeah.
So,
or, you know, like we'd be at like some other people I know that are in the, you know, wrestling. It's like, we'd be at, you know, tailgating at football games and like for like a solid hour, we're not even talking about football. We're talking about pro wrestling.
So I'm like really into pro. I want to talk about this because I think you and I kind of come from different spots right now, and I want to do the pro wrestling thing with you, and you're the perfect guy to bring on here. First of all, you asked me, and I was so jealous watching the Royal Rumble, knowing that you were there. I appreciated you asking me to go. I just, with the two kids right now and like six jobs, it's just impossible. How was that experience?
Overall, really, really awesome. You know, and that was actually, you know, I've been following this stuff for over 20 years, you know, since basically like Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's what got me into it. That was kind of my gateway drug. But you know, like just never, man, I've been to plenty of like Raw, SmackDowns, NXTs, you know, name it, that kind of stuff, but never actually like a pay-per-view. So especially the Rumble. So when it was in St. Louis, you know, it's 5.5 hour drive, like could not go, that kind of thing. So, it was a group of us went down, we got a hotel right by the stadium where they had downtown in St. Louis.
So jealous.
And you know, like a ton of people there. I mean, they had, I think, 40,000-50,000 people there, maybe.
Yeah. Was it just people walking around in wrestling t-shirts and stuff?
Oh God. Yeah. It's like, and there's like, just, it's like Mecca and everyone's got their, you know, replica championship belt that they're, people like cosplaying stuff and like some really good, you know, really good cosplay. Some not so much, but
that's my crowd, man.
It was a lot of fun. And you know, it's funny. We're sitting there like, you know, like kicks off with, you know, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. That was a great match. And then gets in the women's, you know, Rumble. That was fun. And then like kind of in between the two Rumbles was kind of like, eh. And then, so by the time we got to the men's, like we were pretty stoked again, but it's interesting the reaction online, social media, like after all of that versus like when we there, cause there we were having a lot of fun, but then we find out like afterwards that a lot of people like thought it was a bad Rumble or that it, you know, wasn't good or they weren't happy with the outcomes and stuff, but being there in person was a lot of fun. So I only have an overall great experience. Had fun talking to people there, you know, meeting, you know, people from all over the kind of the country, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
So for me, I want to give a little background. Like my pro wrestling passion was dying and for multiple reasons. One had nothing to do with the product. Like I'm just so busy with the kids and just everything. Like one of the complaints, and I want to get into this later, that I've always had about WWE is I only have so much time. I can't watch all your shows. Like, it's just, you know, when it got to be like, okay, like I used to like it when SmackDown was just a show like that was just there, but nothing actually happened. So you didn't, when they do a true brand split and it's like, oh, I have to pay attention to both of these to understand the storylines. Like that's difficult for me. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to watch like NXT because it's too much. Like I don't have the bandwidth to do it all.
There's a finite amount of hours in the week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much done, man. Like you know what killed it for me was when COVID hit and I couldn't get into the rings with the arenas with no people.
Thunderdome and all that.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. And it wasn't their fault, right? Like because I actually think they had some decent storylines there when Roman Reigns turned heel.
Absolutely.
Right? Like it actually wasn't, I think they did as good of a job as they could.
Absolutely.
AEW caught my interest. Jericho goes there. Who doesn't? I think all big wrestling fans love Jericho. I don't know anybody who doesn't. That caught my interest. I start watching it a little too indie for me. Like I never followed the indies. So it was like, all these guys who the diehard, and I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm not a diehard. I'm not watching YouTube clips, right? Like I'm not watching Ring of Honor on Sunday nights at
midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like a lot of these like legends who are in AEW. I didn't know. Like, so it just didn't fire me up. it was when Punk showed up that I started to really pay a lot of attention to AEW. Punk is a guy to me who, like, it, you know, the pipe bomb, like that era of Punk was, in my mind, second only to the Monday Night Wars. Like, as far as my favorite, like, time to be a wrestling fan, because there was the believability of Punk. He looks like us, you know? And then, like, there was like, oh my God, you're like, you know, it's fake, but is there a reality to what he's saying? Like, right. Like, there was always the question mark, like when he comes back with Cena with the title, right? Like, there was an element of like reality to it. And, and I fell in love with Punk. Punk would probably, in my mind, be he's probably my favorite wrestler of all time, which is which is a big statement, but I just really enjoyed that.
You know, and that's interesting because I think, you know, in my opinion, all the really best wrestling storylines have had a hint of truth or realism to them. Where, you know, a perfect example would be the whole Matt Hardy, Edge, Lita thing.
Oh,
you know,
God,
I mean, that was like, is this, what's going on here? Like, is this real? Is it kind of a work? What is it? You know, that kind of thing. Is it, you know, is there a storyline, you know, and, or I think, you know, a couple of years ago when even The Miz went off on Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack, like, like,
is that real?
Do we veer into something? And same with the, you know, the pipe bomb. It's like, I can't believe he's saying these things. And to this day, I mean, it's, we're 10 years past that and we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
And how prescient it was, because a lot of the things, his critique and criticisms in it are still valid to this day. So, I mean,
and we found out after the fact, everything he said in there, he meant, you know,
I think you're right. Like him coming, well, first of all, just coming back to wrestling period when he seems so done, and then coming back to AEW immediately gives it that cachet, gives it credibility. It's like, okay, for like the casual such as yourself, now we're paying attention. And then you start tacking onto that, like Daniel Bryan, some of these other people they're picking up, like, okay, this isn't just like a little indie vanity side project for like the Young Bucks and you know, and some of these other guys, and Cody Rhodes, and well, formerly Cody Rhodes, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, this is something that has to be paid attention to. This is legitimate now.
Yeah. And I love underdogs, and I'm a, you know, what I do in my day job, like we're an independent media publication in a world full of conglomerates. So like, to me, like there's an element of like, oh my God, I want to root for these guys.
Yeah.
To slay the publicly traded company that, in my mind, had gotten very stale, that being WWE. And I guess where I wanted to go, so I ended up watching on Sunday night. I watched from front to back the latest AEW pay-per-view, and I've been watching. I don't watch the Friday night show, just full disclosure. Yeah, I just watch the Wednesday night show, and I fast forward and I stop on things that I think are interesting. That's how I watch WWE these days too.
I'm the same way, especially Monday Night Raw. I mean, it's 3 hours, it's a slog. Now SmackDown, I can get through.
Yeah,
SmackDown, like, you know, I have it on, like, I'm, you know, I'll be at home, because I mean, honestly, you and I are both not spring chickens anymore. So the idea of actually going out and hanging out with actual physical people on a Friday night after a long week of work is like the last thing I want to do.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
So I'd much rather be at home. I'll put SmackDown on, making dinner, getting ready, that kind of, or get, you know, clean the house, that kind of stuff. So SmackDown, I feel, is pretty easy to get through. You know, 2 hours, same with like Dynamite and some of the stuff. 2 hours is a good number, but 3 hours, man, it's just like, and half of it's going to be like recaps from the thing that happened the first hour of the show.
Going to a live Raw at 3 hours is an awful. Yeah. And I mean, because it's just, you're just watching those promos, you're watching those commercials.
Yeah.
Like, I took my daughter to that, like, the last time it was that Raw was in Des Moines, and that was a mistake, because she just wanted to see Cena because she loves Cena.
Yeah. Was he even there?
He was, and he was in the main event, and that was the first time we saw him. So we had to stay until, like, because I was just planning on seeing Cena and getting the hell out of there. She was like 4. And
if you want to talk slog, the Raw, I think it might have been right. It was like the last Raw, like 2019 ish, when they pre-taped the Raw for Christmas.
Yeah.
So you actually were there for two Raws.
Oh yeah.
And it was like five and a half hours. Like, I love wrestling, but even that's pushing.
I can't do it. So I guess where I wanted to go is I'm really enjoying AEW. I'm not that invested in WWE, but I wanted to talk about, like, what we see the future, because I can see a couple of things happening here. Like, AEW to me, it reminds me of, like, a mixture of, like, the old ECW, like, before WWE bought it. Late 90s WCW. Because remember, like, the thing there was, like, oh, this is for the young adults. Right. And this is until Turner Broadcasting got involved and made them, like, tone everything down. And then McMahon goes crazy and Raw turns into the debauchery all over the place. And then all those guys who were like 17 are like, oh, I'm going to watch this one now. Uh-huh. This one, like, the amount of blood on a AEW show. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. Like, it's like I'm watching, like, the old hardcore matches from, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to just figure out, like, what they're trying to be. Cause I was like, man, I can't believe they're doing all this blood, but they're dropping, they're cussing. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, where is their limit going to be? Cause right now I'm really enjoying it, but I also, like, can they keep doing this on cable? Right. Well, where are we going here? Like,
they're definitely presenting an edgier product. And I think that's probably a smart move on their part. They're counter programming against what WWE it is, was kind of, you know, the whole PG-13, where, you know, WWE, you know, since, you know, they're, you know, you, if you go back on, like, the Peacock network where they have, you know, all the old WWE or WWF even pay-per-views, and you watch, like, the sponsors that were, like, back in, like, the 90s and 2000s, like they're, like, you know, like, phone calling card program, you know, promotions and things like that. Now they're getting, like, KFC, Snickers, like, big corporate sponsors. So they have this, you know, responsibility to their sponsorships, all this money, and of course their shareholders. They can't be doing, like, this crazy, all the blood and the swearing and the just a really edgy out there, you know, attitude era product anymore. So when you're trying to, like, obviously compete against that and build a new promotion, it's like, how can we stand out? How can we be different? So it's okay. Hey, we're going to cater a little bit more to maybe some of these lapsed fans, such as yourself, people that have, like, tuned out, or because, like, you know, it's like, I don't care about Cena. I don't need all the t-shirts. I don't need, I want something that's a little bit more mature, a little more adult oriented product. And I think that's kind of what they're offering. Now, I will say, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, young, watching, you know, Attitude Era, like, the blood and all the violence and the hardcore stuff, hell yeah, man, give me that stuff. And then you go for, like, 10 years of watching this, you know, a little more sandbag.
It's shocking, isn't it?
It's shocking. and it's almost like, I don't know if I really care for this anymore.
You should have seen
that. I think there's kind of a happy medium. I do like to see some blood. And, like, Brock Lesnar, when, you know, he's a great bleeder. You know, when he's, like, you can, I think there's a happy medium between the two.
The Punk MJF match.
Yes.
On Sunday night. Did you hear about this?
Uh-huh.
They actually brought out the old thumbtacks and were doing, like, power bombs into the thumbtacks. Like, it was was straight ECW 1996.
Yeah.
It would be on, like, Friday nights in that, like, basement, and Paul Heyman would run out. You know what I'm talking about? I was shocked. I was shocked by it. I'm like, oh, the thumbtacks are there. And I actually said, like, Punk's the only one who will do it because there's no way a new guy like MJF will actually go through with it. And he did. Like, he... They both had, like, their backs and butts were full of thumbtacks.
I will say, I think to credit. Okay, I got to say just real quick, I am definitely an MJF fan.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
I have been since the first episode because I'm not familiar with any work he did prior to AEW. I'll just admit that straight up. But from, like, the first night that I tuned into AEW and watching him, I'm like, I'm immediately a fan. This is like The Miz, but, like, a better version of The Miz, like, who really doesn't give a you know what about what anybody thinks. Like, he's just gonna be, I'm gonna be an absolute bastard. And, and, like, he's great on the mic. And I think, and this is, you know, if we talk a bit about, you know, the industry stuff, I think the best asset, at least for me watching as a fan, that you can have as a wrestler isn't so much technical wrestling ability. It's, can I tell a story?
No doubt.
But can I speak on the mic? Can I get people to buy in? Because the people that are getting, like, released left and right of WWE or some of these people, or you just watch Ronda Rousey open her mouth.
It's awful. I can't handle it.
It's brutal. It is brutal. So when you have MJF and CM Punk, two at the very top of the, in fact, I think you have the, probably the three best talkers in pro wrestling right now, between Jericho and MJF and Punk, all in one company.
Yeah, no, I would completely agree with that. I can't think of anybody WWE has right now who would compete. So
not on that level.
Another aspect of AEW that's just reminds me of the 90s so much is you never know who's going to show up on a given night. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't know.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm wondering. So AEW is now like the problem WWE has had for so long is they haven't been able to create stars. So they'll have all these guys come up through their pipeline and they're like, oh, this is the next big thing. But the crowd doesn't react to them. Right. Like watching like Keith Lee on AEW, he was supposed to be that. Like there's so many guys over there who the WWE couldn't turn into it. One of my thoughts is like AEW is now creating these stars, like in their legitimate stars. So a guy like MJF, when he becomes a free agent, are we going to start to have like the reversal and be like, oh my God, like, and we're seeing it right now with Cody Rhodes, like his profile is bigger than ever. And I'm actually paying more attention to Raw now because it like, will Cody Rhodes show up? Right.
Yeah.
And there's gotta be some, because McMahon's not just going to sit back and let this thing get completely.
No, I think they're definitely they won't probably admit to it, but they're definitely keeping an eye on it. And I think they probably have their thumb on it, like, we'll let it go to a certain point, but then, you know, because they're kind of competition. I mean, they're competition, yes, but they're not on the level of WWE certainly yet. I mean, they're not really, it's not Monday. We're not talking Monday Night Wars right now. But here's the thing that I would say. I would actually take a little bit
if they would go on a Monday, they would, I think they'd beat Raw in like a month.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't think so. And so I have to say, like, while I enjoy both, and I kind of push back on this like false like dichotomy of like you can only like one or the other. You know, like growing up a kid, like playing video games, like you're either a Nintendo guy, you're a Sega guy. I'm like, fuck you, I like both. You know, like sorry, part of my language.
You're good.
Or PlayStation and Xbox. You know, it's like it's like anything, Coke, Pepsi, you know, whatever it is, you know, Ford or Chevy, like I can like both of these things. I can enjoy both these things, but that's at that point, like I'm going to be critical of both. There's things that I like that AEW is doing. There's things that I like that they aren't, you know, that they're doing that I don't care for. One of the things that I would maybe disagree with you on there is that I was really excited initially on for them to build new stars. Lately, it feels very much like
I would agree with you.
We're just pulling in all of totally WWE's cast-offs, and they've been signing as people like Keith Lee and Aleister Black and, you know, like the Revival. I love big Revival fan. But you know, they got some guys initially, but it just seems like anyone who leaves, you know, WWE is just jumping over there now. And it's like, I mean, look at Adam Cole, and now they got what, Red Dragon or the Undisputed Era basically. And they're like, they're not even like doing different stuff with them. It's like, oh, let's just put them back together. Kind of like, we'll just take what was working over here and just kind of do the same thing here. And like some of that stuff didn't work for a reason. And I would agree with you that their star-making ability in WWE has been maybe not great. I think that's almost by design. They've admitted that. The days of having like a Rock or Stone Cold or even a John Cena, like this larger than life, bigger than the company that can go off and do other things, I think they're kind of like, we're done with that. You know, and I would say that, you know, like in NXT, they did a great job making stars. A lot of them already came in though pre-packed or pre-made as stars. You bring in Samoa Joe, dude, Samoa Joe's has a long and very successful career, especially in TNA, you know, so some of these guys were already stars to begin with. So they didn't have to build much. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, all these guys, huge on the indie scene. So what the problem was is that they built up and they gave them great storylines and feuds in NXT, but most of their mainstream viewership does not watch NXT. So then when they bring them up to the roster, they just kind of assume that you know who they are and you've seen what they've done. And for the casuals, it's like, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know why I should care about Sami Zayn or why I should care about like some of these other guys, you know, and like Bo Dallas or you know, Pac, you know, like they had great runs there, but why should I care about them? I didn't watch that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, you nailed it. And this was actually one of the notes that I took watching the pay-per-view last night. It was like my favorite match other than Punk, MJF, and that applies to this too, was Jericho versus Eddie Kingston.
Yes.
Because I didn't know who Eddie Kingston was until he's really good on the mic.
Yes.
He might be number four.
Yeah.
Honestly, he might be. I don't know.
And it always struck me, he seems very authentic.
Yeah, well, my style. Like, this is my style of pro wrestling that I want. I want the guys who I might see at Founders Pub in Bondurant, and he doesn't completely stand out, right? Like, yeah. I want the realistic. Like, what was Ryback doesn't do much for me,
right? But I tell you, you know, like right now, my favorite wrestler and my top three all time for me is Kevin Owens because he looks like me. I'm an overweight guy with a beard that just goes around and insults people. Yeah. Like that's me. Like, if I was a wrestler, exactly he's right. like my spirit animal.
Exactly right. Like, yeah. Jericho, Kingston, and then Punk, MJF, the one that I didn't say cared the least. I watched it. It was a really good match. And I think the storyline's going to be interesting. Daniel Bryan and, what's his name? Mox.
John, Moxley. Yeah.
John Moxley. Cause it's like, I've just seen these guys a lot with one another. Right. Like, so I don't know. Like I like watching the like WWE legend versus this indie guy. Cause it's these, I don't know, these kind of, interesting matches that you never thought you'd see. Mm-hmm. And like, so then like they're, Hangman and Adam Cole was a great championship match, but I'd rather see like a bigger name versus Adam Cole, right? As far as like for the casual guy, I like mixing it up is my point.
Yeah.
And that's, you're nailing it as far as like bringing all these WWE guys over.
Yeah.
I absolutely just fast forward it when Keith Lee walks out, and that's probably not fair to him because he's an incredible athlete and stuff, but I'm not giving him a chance just because I saw him get squashed over there.
Yeah, well, and I'll be honest with you, here's a hot take for you. And I feel like sometimes maybe I'm the only person that thinks this way, but I'm honestly not a huge fan of Moxley.
Okay.
Yeah, when the Shield was a thing, he was like my number three in the Shield, significantly. Like Seth Rollins was my guy.
There's not a lot of depth in his character.
Right, I watch his matches, and his matches really didn't interest me. Like, he does that thing where he, like, goes back into the ropes and kind of like goes like that and then springs forward. And I just like, it always looks so ridiculous. I mean, and I know wrestling is by its nature, very nature ridiculous, but I just never, even when he's doing like his, you know, the only thing I will say, his feud with Seth Rollins after Seth Rollins betrayed the Shield, that was really good. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of went away and kind of came back as a heel a little bit. And I just, that wasn't really working for me. So I don't know. Like I've just never been a big Moxley fan.
Well, it's just now, it's just, okay, he's this crazy guy who...
Yeah, oh, I'm crazy, I'm wacky.
That's the character.
Yeah.
Like, there's really no more. Now, it looks like him and Bryan Danielson are going to, like, team up, and this could be interesting. Regal came to the ring last night, and that was kind of like a thing. So, I mean, maybe he's going to be, like, their manager, and they're going to start some sort of a faction. I'm a heel faction guy.
Oh, totally.
Those are my...
I'm generally heel factions. Yeah, faction. And that's the thing is...
WWE got away from that for so long. It was all I'm the lone wolf. I don't give a shit. Make a heel faction.
Anytime they would do a group, it would always be like maybe three people.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't get... When was the last time was Nexus or... I guess four. You had four in the Wyatt family when they were doing that.
But like, is so...
You would never see them do like an NWO... Or NWO Wolfpack type thing.
You know why the Wyatt family didn't work? Because it's not believable. Like, there's no sort of, like, and he's one of the most gifted wrestlers I think I've ever seen. Bray Wyatt was. Mm-hmm. But they kept, like, this ghostly, like, it just didn't work. Like, he's talking to a ghost. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I will say this, though, in critique of AEW. And then we can kind of look into, like, the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I can't watch it with my kid.
True.
Right. And that has been, so the more I've been watching, I told you, and this is what inspired me to do this podcast with you. Mm-hmm. It was like three Friday nights ago, and I hadn't had a night to just sit and watch TV for 2 hours in months. Mm-hmm. And I went on my DVR and I watched all the Dynamites for like 5-6 weeks, like the stuff that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Punk's doing this great program with MJF, and it totally got me hooked. My daughter likes to sit with dad and watch whatever, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah. yep.
she's terrified.
Yeah.
It terrified her. Like, she had a really bad experience. This is funny. I'm a big UFC guy. It's probably like my second favorite sport now mm-hmm. from the pandemic. And my daughter happened to be watching it with me one night. And they're not cussing. It's just violent, but like whatever. She's watched pro wrestling. She watches wrestling with me, whatever. And she saw two compound fractures within the span of like an hour.
Yeah.
So now she's very, and I felt awful. Like I'm like, cause now like she watches AEW and she gets scared cause there's so much blood.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And I know if I turn on WWE, there's pretty girls running out to the ring. Like, here's a fun little program like that she can actually follow and understand. Sure. Right.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Thing for a guy in my spot. Like I would rather watch this, but I've got to spend time with my kid and I want her to experience these things with me. WWE is a better option for us.
I totally agree. And I would say one thing that WWE has as a strength over AEW, at least right now, I think their women's wrestling is far superior. I think they're, you know, just the quality of the matches, the characters are superior. And yeah, I mean, if she's, you know, wants something that's a little more, you know, her style, you know, and a little bit more, you know, PG and that has, you know, really talented women, I mean, that's probably your best option, you know, for that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I watched the Rumble at home mm-hmm. and I was jealous that you weren't there. I actually was.
Yeah.
Good move to put it on a Saturday night. I thought that was a good move. I thought.
I believe that. First of all, they're not calling them pay-per-views anymore. They're premium live events.
Oh.
And they, yeah. I think that they've now, like, aside from like obviously the Rumble or the WrestleMania, which is split up over two nights now, which is a great move. I think all of their premium live events, you know, going forward are going to be on Saturdays, which is a good thing because I tell you what, like when we were at the Rumble, I mean, that was a long pay-per-view. I'm sorry, premium live event. Okay. I've had to like train myself to call it what it is now.
PLE.
But it's a long event. It was like, I mean, we got there like 11 o'clock at night. Like these kids have school tomorrow, you know, it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's why they've changed it. So, I mean, it was, you know, for decades, it was always Sundays, but like,
last AEW real quick, Tony mm-hmm. Khan buying Ring of Honor. Is this just them, buying a tape? Like a library.
I think so. I don't see, I mean, why would you try to build up that brand at all?
The only thing I could think of was a Cody Rhodes led invasion. If we're all getting worked.
I don't think so. I mean, that would be insane and amazing if it was.
The Cody Rhodes thing's really peculiar to me.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like, and like you get, anytime you read the dirt sheets or anything on, especially on the internet, and this goes for anything in life, kids, Take it with a big grain of salt. But like, you know, there was something I read just a story. It was like 2 days ago saying that, like, I guess talks or negotiations aren't really going anywhere with WWE. But
why would he go back there? Like as shitty they were to his family and stuff. Right. Like I just, he's going to go there. Yeah, I know money, but like he's going to go there. And for 6 months, they're going to run him pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll just find a way to bury him again. Like, that's exactly what they're going to get tired of him. They're just trying to stick it to AEW right now.
The one thing, I mean, it would be in their best interest. I mean, I agree. They'll do one or two good programs for him, you know, like 6 months at best. It would actually be in their best interest to keep him going strong after that, because I'm sure there are a lot of guys that in AEW, they're going to if he was the first person to jump back, they're going to be watching to see how that plays out. Because if at some point, if you're MJF and like
that's
you're
my,
building a name for yourself,
Britt Baker,
if McMahon comes with a truck full of money, wants to sign you to a big contract and say, hey, they actually did a pretty good job with Cody, you know, like,
who would be the biggest deal to make the switch? It'd be MJF, Punk will never go back.
No, Punk will never go back. I could see Brian at some point going back. You know, at some point,
his wife's still
over. Twilight of his career. He left on great terms. Vince loves him. Going back, you know, your Hall of Fame, your little, you know, Kurt Angle kind of last little run kind of thing.
Wouldn't it be Britt Baker? Isn't she like one of the biggest stars that's never been there?
Could be. You know, could be.
And the women's divisions are like, the problem with the women's division is there's not that many stars.
MJF, MJF would be a huge coup for them to get him. I think he's a bona fide star.
I don't mean this as like a human being.
Yeah.
And I loved her in the UFC. I hate Ronda Rousey on WWE.
Oh, really?
She's just like it. She's not a bad wrestler. She's such a bad actress.
Yes.
It was cool at first.
Oh yeah, the idea of it was amazing.
Yeah, now I'm just
when she's gonna like, it is painful. Oh. And like I remember, like Roman Reigns was not good on doing promos and stuff here. When he kind of he was getting a little bit better, but they were not giving him good material. And when he kind of stepped away when he was doing like leukemia and then came back in there, like he clearly was working on that while he was away. And that's the thing, like, okay, you always like want to play to someone's strength. So if they're great at one thing, accentuate that. If they're not great at something else, pull that back. I mean, that's why Paul Heyman talked for Brock Lesnar for so long.
Yeah.
Now it turns out Brock Lesnar can actually talk, but like same thing with Ronda Rousey, give her a manager just don't have her talk or just go up there and say, "Hey Charlotte, what's up, bitch?" And then smack her. Just be something like that. Keep it simple. Don't complicate it. Make it any more, you know, than needs to be.
We need a Heyman led faction. That includes
Paul Heyman guys and girls. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Rousey, Lesnar, whoever has like a UFC background, there's another female on the roster that has that.
Baszler.
Yeah. We need a straight. Cause this Roman Reigns, like head of the table thing is just stupid. Like I loved the Roman Reigns faction with the Usos. It's great. Like it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
The whole like, head of the table thing and like the is stupid. Like
the bloodline thing. I liked it. Like I still enjoy it, but like the early parts that where he's absolutely gaslighting Jay and Jimmy Uso was amazing.
Yeah.
Like I was all about that. Like the games he's playing with them and getting them to fall in line. He's bringing out like, you know, his family is his, you know, the tribe, the elder chief, you know, I can't remember the guy. It was like from like the wild Samoans, like, you know, they're bringing out those dudes. Like that was good. But
it just like, again, like I look for too much reality in this stuff and I forget that it's the WWE, but I'm like, nobody talks like that. Like nobody,
well, you always have to kind of like accept that this is its own little like universe.
Yeah. And you're right. You're right.
The rules don't apply to it. Like apparently there's only one referee in this entire building. And when someone has to run out, like, and there was,
yeah.
It, like,
oh,
was
I know,
that,
you're
I
right.
Can't remember, what was it? What was that wrestle or at the Royal Rumble? Like, who got knocked out? And it was like an insane amount of time before another ref came out. You know, it was like 2 minutes. Like, yeah. What was he in the back taking a shit? What was he doing? You know,
I was watching that too. It was last week on Dynamite. Punk was just bleeding like crazy. Like, I mean, it was the most blood I've seen in a wrestling event in 20 years. Okay, going back to like the ECW days, and then like his boys came out to like save him. It was like Sting and Darby Allin, like 10 minutes after the assault had begun. Like he's been like locked to the right. It's like, why didn't you come out earlier? You
could have saved already. Did they have to get him over? They had to walk over from the hotel and really out. You know.
All right, tell me a little bit because I really don't know much about it. I know we're having Lesnar and Reigns. To unify, are we unifying the belt or is just like,
that's what sounds like is happening, which I don't understand why we're going to make it in just one belt now or one championship. And we're going
to, freaking make up their mind. Cause they change it too much. It's
you're right. And then it's like, cause they'll unify it and they'll run with it for like 6 months to a year or two at most. And then like, oh, we're going to split them back again.
Correct. And it's hard as a fan to know like which belt I actually like having them in the one guy. Like who's the top, who's the man, but
yeah, well, and that's the thing. They never can really seem to make up the right place. Okay. We're a SmackDown women's championship when there's like 8 women wrestlers on the roster that are actually actively wrestling. Ooh, I'm the champion. Like there's 8 of you. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and now we have like multiple tag belts too. It's like,
Well, and here's the thing. It's so ridiculous. Like, you have all, two sets of tag team titles. You have, plus the women's tag team titles. Then you have the Intercontinental, the U.S. Championship. Like, you have all these, like, at WrestleMania, then we have to have all these matches to defend all these, right? So it's like, why not just say, hey, we're going to have one set of champion or whatever, and whoever's the champion can go whatever show they want to go to. So if you want to be on Raw Monday night and then be on SmackDown Friday night,
yeah, great.
Cool. You want to show up in NXT? Show up in NXT. Like, they, I just thought, like, freaking Dolph Ziggler's been down there doing a program, and he and Bobby Roode have been down there. I'm like, it's actually been really good. So, like, that's how you, I think, make it a little bit more unexpected. Like, oh crap, so-and-so is showing up tonight or whatever, or don't announce it. Like, just show up, make it. That's the thing that they've gotten away from that was so prevalent during the Monday night era, which was that anything can happen. Like, I got to tune in next week. They always left Raw and you'd have JR screaming at the end of the match, Stone Cold, you know, all this stuff. And because you didn't know what was going to happen, you had to tune in next week. Oh my God, I can't wait to watch, because what are they going to do next? Who's going to get a beer truck sprayed on them, you know, that kind of thing. So, this winner takes all. I'm like, and I say this as someone that is a Brock Lesnar fan and a Roman Reigns fan, but like, this is like, how many times have they fought now?
Oh, I know.
I mean, but it's just like.
The Rock's going to show up, isn't he?
No, I think that ship sailed. But really? Hey, I'm happy you're wrong. And that's the thing. Never say never. That's the one thing about WWE. I will say specifically, never say never. I never thought you'd see Scott Hall and Kevin Nash back in the company ever again. Or Jeff Jarrett, you know, like, yeah. or Eric Bischoff, for God's sake. Like, it's Vince will do whatever he thinks will make him money.
I've been dreaming for a Bischoff run in AEW coming back to TNT.
Yeah.
I feel like him and Turner probably aren't on the best of the folks at Turner, but I mean, who knows? They could all be dead by now.
WC, he tried to buy, if you go watch, he tried to buy WCW.
He had it all locked up. Like
2000. And they were all set to like sign the deal. But then at the last minute, Turner's like, we're not going to, you know, do the TV thing. He was going to buy it. We're like, well, what's the point of buying WCW if I don't get the TV deal?
The death of WCW is one of the great books. Yes. If you want to read about wrestestling. Okay.
We got about
10 minutes left. Tell me.
All right, let me run through this.
Let's go this card. I'll tell you what are we interested in here.
All right. Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey. I'm not super excited. I thought like a Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey would have been far more exciting, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And they should have built up the Becky Charlotte program from Survivor Series for Mania.
Yeah.
Cause it's real again. Like, yeah, there's reality.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah. There's again, that's one of those areas. Is it real? Is there some real life beef between them? That kind of thing. The Miz and Logan Paul versus the Mysterios. You always going to have like that little, you know, blow off comedic, like, is this going to be a thing? But
At least Logan Paul's like a real fighter. Like, it's somewhat believable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like Jay Leno, like WCW back in the day.
But the problem with it is that I think the bar was set so high with the Bad Bunny match last year that I don't, like, you're going to have to really pull out stuff. That's going to be hard to have. I mean, dude's doing Canadian Destroyers. I mean, that's insane. So I don't have a lot of excitement for that one. Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin does absolutely nothing for me. Corbin, I could care less. Drew McIntyre, like, was cool and he was like becoming a thing, but now I'm kind of like, he's kind of stale.
He's
walking around with a sword.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because I met him and hung out with him for like an hour once.
Oh, I bet he's a cool dude.
He's an awesome guy, like, super nice, great story, but I felt so bad for him because his like push came right when COVID hit.
Right.
Yeah. And it was really bad luck. But again, like, there's really no depth to the character. It's just, oh, now he carries around a sword and he's like,
kick people.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, okay. I need a little bit more there. Yeah.
It's Sheamus 2.0. Like, oh, I drink beer and I'm from Ireland and I talk funny and like, right. Like, they don't really ever build those guys up, but I'm not interested in that.
Yeah. So we also have the women's tag championship, Carmella and Queen Zelina versus Sasha Banks, Naomi. Hopefully it's better. I'm not super enthused about that, but you never know. I mean, it's got Sasha Banks. She's always great. So, and then Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn, which I think as far as the celebrity match goes, I have a better time visualizing Logan Paul being able to actually wrestle, versus Johnny Knoxville. But I will say this as a huge Sami Zayn fan, I'm finally so happy that he's actually thriving and doing
I like him a lot too. I like
it. And it's nice that he's doing his own thing, because it felt like very much when he first came up to the main roster, he was very much defined by his relationship with Kevin Owens. So it was like, they feud all the time, but like, can he, that's great. We get that they have a great program. They always work well together, but can he do his own thing? Cause Owens was certainly capable of doing his own thing.
He'd be a great fit in AEW right now.
Who's that, Sammy?
Yeah.
I think he just resigned. So with WWE for a couple years, I mean, he's regularly on TV pretty much on SmackDown every week now.
He's doing, one of the few guys I'll like stop the DVR for.
Yeah.
When he's on the screen, I stop it.
And again, watch. Like he's in, you know, he's doing, you know, some great character work. He's great on the mic. So big Sami Zayn fan. Absolutely. And then we have a couple, I guess they're like matches with unannounced dates as far as what night they're going to go on. I'm very much looking forward to Edge versus AJ Styles. That's probably my number one right now.
Edge is top five all time for me.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm kind of glad they made him kind of heal again, because I think he works better in that capacity. He's great both ways, but
yeah,
Edge is again, one of those guys that can be an absolute bastard.
I'd like him to, and again, this is probably a stretch in 2022, but go back to more of the rated R superstar thing now that he's a heel.
Yeah.
Right? Because right now he's just kind of like, oh, I'm unhinged.
Uh-huh.
Like, let's peel back that onion just a little bit and get back to some of the, you know, because I think that was when he was really, really, really awesome.
Totally, yeah. And then I guess we have Austin Theory versus Pat McAfee, which, again, like, that's three different, quote-unquote, celebrity matches. I know technically Pat's an employee but
Pat's, they're honestly, just using him to promote it.
Of the three kind of celebs that they have in these matches here, McAfee's by far the best. I mean, he had that wonderful, you know, he did some great stuff for the brand on NXT against Adam Cole. And Pat can absolutely bring it. Dude's athletic as hell, obviously, because he, you know, played in the NFL. And, you know, but so my question is, like, you know, with Pat McAfee on Austin Theory, is this like for Vince McMahon on a pole match? I mean, what are we doing here? I don't know what we're doing here, but it's like, Austin Theory Vince McMahon relationship is bizarre.
I'll tell you what we're doing here. We're using Pat McAfee's massive following to get more people to watch this.
Yeah.
And sign up for Peacock. That's what we're doing. Yeah. There's nothing more to it.
I just get like 3 million followers.
Yeah, there's nothing more to Twitter. It. That's what's going on here.
And then last one, they haven't announced it yet, but, like, I mean, obviously, and I don't know if they're going to do a tag team match with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, but Owens has been, like, doing this thing week out for, like, KO Mania, where he's insulting the state of Texas. And you've seen, like, Bradshaw, you know, or JBL, and some of these are, like, legends. Pushing back against him. And then there was this rumors of like a Stone Cold Steve Austin thing, but dude, Austin's done and hasn't wrestled since in 20 years. Like I say this as a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan. It's like my favorite wrestler, Stone Cold. I love him, but I do not need, I mean, his last match was against The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He's never going to top that. Like he's not going to come back. Like at most you'll see, you know, Kevin Owens come out to the ring, he'll run his mouth. And then you'll see like maybe Stone Cold comes out.
We'll hear the glass.
Gives him a stunner. Opens a can of beer and then flips off, you know, and then walks back. Like it's going to be, or maybe it's a couple legends come out and they all do their moves on them. But it's not going to be a match. I mean, no one, I do not want to see that.
No, they're set. Austin will be there.
Yeah.
I think he has to. You just nailed it. Like something happens like that.
But an actual match, no. And
I don't want to see him wrestle.
I don't want to see him wrestle. Cause like your last memory of these guys, like, I mean, it was sad watching like the Undertaker kind of near the end, like last like year.
Yeah,
two.
Well, and I don't like, I have, it doesn't move the needle at all for me to watch fucking Goldberg walk out.
I'm total agreement. Like,
if I don't want to watch
ever it. Shows up again, I am so happy that. And I say that also as someone that back in the WCW days was a Goldberg fan. So, I don't need that.
That's, I mean,
the only thing I want to see
tune me in at all. In fact, it's almost I don't hate the guy. His matches suck. Like they're not any good.
Let me throw something out here.
Okay.
What I would like to see, and it doesn't necessarily match, but just where I want the storyline to go. You could do it at WrestleMania. So I really think that they finally have struck gold with Chad Gable and Alpha Academy. Like, and he has that kind of that Kurt Angle dorky, you know, don't boo education kids, you know, that kind of thing. Bring in Johnny Gargano, who is still kind of MIA. We don't know where he is. Form up like with Alpha Academy, and then bring back Kurt Angle to kind of manage them and have kind of a stable, bring back amateur wrestlers. And Team Angle kind of thing. So I would like to see something like that. I think that that would be fun. But
I'd like to see, if possible, if Cody Rhodes is going to come back.
Yeah.
Don't you put him against Triple H and make this as real as possible. Cody Rhodes is the only reason I'm back here is what you've done to my family. And you have like a Triple H and Stephanie versus Cody and Brandy.
That'd be something. No, I don't know.
I don't want Brandy and Stephanie in the ring, but they can be like on
the side.
They
can slap each other outside the ring.
Right? You know what I mean? Because then it will like, because you know that Cody's half of what he's saying is true.
Yeah. How they disrespect it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a program that I would be locked into.
Yeah. I don't know what Triple H's medical condition right now, what that is.
Shane?
You know,
Shane Cody Rhodes? I don't know.
Well, there's the whole thing with Shane's apparently out of the company again.
Oh, he is? He was just on the Royal Rumble.
Right. And there was all these reports right after the Rumble, again, grain of salt, kids, that he had a lot of heat on him after that, and people weren't like, they were rewriting the whole thing up, you know, the Rumble, men's Rumble match, like to the very last minute, and that he kind of had to fall on his sword for it not being as good as people want to be. I don't know if you believe all that, but there's been some friction, I guess, to his in the company. I don't know, but the word was that Shane was out.
Interesting.
Yeah, but who knows? You know, that's just
maybe we'll do one of these after the Rumble or after Mania or something.
I think you kind of have to just kind of because there's, you know, there's two nights, which I think is a good move and kind of see where it goes. But I would, I mean, they need to. And that was one thing I will say we were disappointed about with the Rumble was that in the past you'd have these NXT guys, kind of the guys that were the up and coming guys, like, you know, show up there and you kind of give the crowd a sneak preview. Because let me tell you something. I know they call him Braun Breaker, but it's Rex Steiner is going to be. He's going to be a big deal. And if you're not familiar with them, it's, you know, Rick Steiner's kid and
Steiner like, brothers, man. Yeah, old school. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Big so Papa Pump's nephew.
Bill, you know, build him up, bring him up. And then he's the one to take the championship off of Roman Reigns. Cause Roman Reigns is going to be holding it for at least the rest.
What about I mean, what's Scott Steiner up to now? Is he still alive?
He's still doing math. Jeez, calling people fat. He's
still in like TNA, just going out there. Just swearing. Well,
I will say the one person he can't call fat anymore is Jericho. And props to Jericho. Dude,
he looks great.
Looks. I mean, he was getting a little.
Like, dude, he looks awesome now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't even look like the same guy.
He's the master of reinventing himself, and dude, like, looks.
We need heel Jericho in AEW. The face thing's not for me. Let him be heel.
Oh, I totally agree.
Heel Jericho. The people can still sing his song and then boo him during the match.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Yep. I mean, for me, like Jericho, late WCW Jericho.
Oh man.
You know the
like when he demasked Juventud Guerrero, like
that. Yeah, and feuded with Stinko Malenko.
Yeah.
And 1,004 holes, like
phenomenal.
And then you know, like obviously his WWE stuff's great, but like the list of Jericho and French, you know, best friends with KO was probably my number two favorite stuff he's done. So Jericho, I love the guy. He's great.
All right, brother, we'll do this again, okay?
Yeah.
This is fun. I mentioned in my intro that the world just seems kind of heavier than normal right now, so.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to just kind of turn off the brain and enjoy stupid people in tights rolling around on a mat. Fake, you know.
I don't have a lot of friends that enjoy that with me, so I appreciate
the rolling around the mat part?
I appreciate you, putting up with that and embracing it as well. All right, brother, we'll have you back soon, okay?
Thanks, buddy.